This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning. As you go through your day, we're going to try and entertain you, give you the latest sports news, inform and entertain. That's what we three in our meetings always say, inform and entertain. Welcome into Cap and Company. I'm David Kaplan. He is Danny Zetterman, who just gave me the best line I have ever heard him say. And Christopher Bleck is at the controls, and he was on TV with me the other day, and he got an A-minus rating from the Rating Bureau on his backdrop for TV. So good morning and welcome to our studios here, the First Midwest Bank studio. I won't say what it was about, but I said to Danny, were you nice? And his response to me was, I was me. That is just so Danny Zetterman.
You asked me if I was a jerk.
I said, were you a jerk? Because he had to do something, and I didn't know he was doing it. And he goes, I was me, meaning him. I'm like, you're unbelievable.
And what's wrong with that? I like to subscribe to the school of a head coach in this city, Matt Nagy. To be you is what Danny has on his keto-friendly play card over here. And if he's going to be him, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I like consistency in my life, Cap. And when someone can be consistent on a day-to-day basis, I'm for it. So, Danny, be you.
Be you, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Be you, Danny.
And I was slightly a jerk, but that's okay. Sometimes life calls for that.
Okay. I'm glad I have you to be the heavy. Okay. 312-332-3776. We'll continue the biggest name contest. Sheryl Crow has gotten over 300 tweets at her to call in on the show. Hadn't called yet. We'll see if it happens. We had sad news this morning. Non-corona related, but sad nonetheless. Ed Farmer, the voice of the White Sox for so many years. He worked as a radio broadcast for almost 30 years for the White Sox. Played 11 seasons in the major leagues, 3 with the White Sox. He was a strong advocate, as the White Sox statement said, for organ donation. He had had an organ donation in his life many, many years ago, and he had been in declining health. He did work a spring training game earlier this spring and then was in a hospital in Los Angeles struggling with it was not corona. He had been in declining health, as I said, and he passed away late last night. Take a listen to this, that Ed Farmer was, whether you like the Sox, don't like the Sox, he was synonymous with White Sox baseball for the last 3 decades.
I was assistant general manager at Baltimore, national cross-checker, along with going with Roland Hammond into different areas to work on trades and get things done. And Roland turned to me and goes, Larry Lucchino wants you to call him tomorrow. So I called the Oriole office the next day, and he goes, the White Sox want to talk to you. I don't want you to sign anything, but call them and find out what they want. So I called them, and I called Larry back, and I said, they want to make me the special assistant to senior vice president of baseball operations. Silence. Nothing. And he goes, what is that? I said, I think that's the assistant GM. He goes, you're already that here. I said, they also want me to do radio on Sundays, and that could interest me. Yeah, that's how I got the job. I did Sundays, and I had to be wherever the team was on Sunday. So I'd be out scouting, and I'd get a flight on Saturday or Sunday morning into where we were playing that afternoon or that evening.
And Tim has 4 home runs. He's driven in 14.
And the pitch swung on high, deep to left. Got a chance. Pitcher trap. It's down. Game-winning home run. Light it up. Sox win.
This is a great seat. Please, it's a boyhood dream. Growing up as a White Sox fan, it is. It's great to call the game.
Game-winning home run by Anderson is 5th. White Sox were down France 9-2 at one point.
This is something that doesn't happen to everybody, and I understand that. It's great to be a White Sox fan. Well, it's a family here. That's what it is. I've got a great partner with Darren Jackson. We get along great. My closest friend outside my family. For my partner and me, we want to win. You can hear it in my voice. I don't come to lose a baseball game.
The 0-1. Alonso swings. Line drive left field. That's down for hit. One run scores. Up with it. A hesitant throw. Sox win! Sox win!
I'm here to do one job. Do the broadcast. Call the White Sox winner. Hopefully get to the playoffs in the World Series again for all the fans, because I'm a huge White Sox fan as well.
So Ed Farmer was 70 years of age. He had been around that team for so long. Got to know him pretty well, not incredibly well, but had talked baseball with him on a number of occasions. And a lot of Sox fans tweeting that they loved him. They absolutely loved listening to him because he was the soundtrack of their childhood into adulthood, listening to the baseball games. John Rooney was a great voice, who he's a dear friend of mine. And John called the last out of the World Series. But then he left and went to St. Louis, and he's been in St. Louis since the 2006 season. So for a long, long time, Ed had grabbed first chair. So, again, our deepest sympathies to the family of Ed Farmer, who passed away last night at the age of 70 after a long illness in a hospital in Los Angeles, non-corona-related. Pitched 11 years in the big leagues and a broadcaster for 28 seasons. This would have been number 29. 312-332-3776. Away from that, the news came down that the contract for Nick Foles is nowhere near as onerous as we had originally thought. We thought he was a $21 million cap hit this year. He's restructured that to spread it over 3 years, so he's basically an $8 million hit this year. So does that change how you look at the Bears' quarterback position? I have been consistent, yet I believe he's got to come in and beat out Mitchell Trubisky, that Mitchell Trubisky is the starting quarterback, and that Nick Foles may beat him out. He may. I think Trubisky starts the season. If he struggles, then they go to the bullpen and they go get Nick Foles, who's always been better as a relief pitcher than as a starting pitcher. So, Danny, do you think this changes anything for you? Because this was an Ian Rappaport story that he broke, and I find it incredibly interesting.
First of all, I want to pat you on the back, David Emmanuel Kaplan, for using the word onerous.
Mm-hmm.
That was magnificent. I had to Google it, not sure that was even a real word.
Thank you.
So props to you. I learned something today. If nothing else comes to this show, I learned what the word onerous means.
Thank you.
Second of all, no, I don't think it changes anything for me in terms of Coach Matt Nagy. I think Matt Nagy does not care about the financials. I think he wants to play the quarterback that puts his team in the best position to win games. I think he understands that the struggle with Mitch Trubisky is real, and he's over it. That's why he brought in Nick Foles, who knows the system, who he has a good relationship with. So if you ask the head coach, and you're giving the head coach autonomy to make the decision of who's going to be a starting quarterback, he's going to forget about the financial situation and just make the decision based on who puts in his team in the best position to win, and that probably will be Nick Foles if it's a true open competition. Now, if Ryan Pace and Bulls and Bears ownership have, you know, saying it, it might have to do with the contract situation, but Matt Nagy's in win now mode. It's his ass on the line, so that's why I think it's going to come down to play, and I think Foles wins it.
Yeah, Foles has never been a guy that from day one takes a team and you go, that's the guy. He's always been, well, he's a really good relief pitcher. Really good guy to ride into the rescue. He's awesome in the room. I still don't believe that Matt Nagy looks at him and goes, he's the starter automatically. I just don't believe it. I do not believe that in his mind he thinks he's the number one option. I don't. The contracts, here's how Rappaport reported it. And here is how it works out. It's $24 million over 3 years, $21 million still fully guaranteed, $6 million available in incentives per year. This is all from his Jacksonville deal. Every dollar he earns of incentive escalates the next year's salary by that same amount. He could void 21 and 22. So after this year, if he has a great year, he can go, yeah, I'm voiding out the rest of the contract. You're off the hook, but I'm going free agent and I'm getting paid. So when you do that, it seems like there's been some various reports that $1 million is for making the Pro Bowl on the original ballot, not as a Mitchell Trubisky-like alternate. $1 million for being an All-Pro, and then various amounts for passing yards, TDs, etc. Playoffs. So, Nick Foles, if he hits every incentives, he would have a total $14 million hit because he'd hit all $6 million in incentives. I don't think he's going to be an All-Pro. I don't think he's going to make the Pro Bowl. He's never shown that in his career for a full season. Let's hope he stays healthy. Let's hope he competes, gets the best out of Mitch. And if Mitch can't do it, then Nick Foles takes the ball and runs with it. He's had a few injury problems in his career. He went to St. Louis when they signed him to a big deal. Didn't work out very well. Went to Jacksonville on a big deal. 12 months later, he's out. So it's going to be an interesting competition. There's not going to be any OTAs. Probably not going to be a mini camp. We don't know what training camp is going to look like yet. But does the fact that they now are spreading the money around change how you look at the quarterback competition? Because some people have said, like Brian Urlacher, it's Mitch's job. There have been others, like Tom Waddle, that have said, when you pay someone, and I think Sylvie said it, you pay someone $21 million and you give up a pick to get him, he's coming in as the starter. I don't agree with that. I think it's an open competition at best. With 44% of NFL teams making the playoffs now, so you got 14 teams going to the playoffs, is there more pressure on Matt Nagy or less? We discussed that with you. 312-332-3776. Let's talk some football. Let's have some fun. Let's have some laughs. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Daniel Zetterman, feisty as always, Christopher Black, snarky as always, and little old me, here to just take their barbs and make you laugh. I'm David Kaplan.
Wow, we feel so bad for you, Cap. and I take offense to that. I'm feisty as well. Can I have some feistiness?
You're snarky.
What are you doing over there? I'm feisty. Don't say that I'm only snarky. Right, I'm feisty today.
All right, Danny's feisty, and you're snarky and feisty.
Chris has what I love about Chris, and it's something I like to think I have as well. The word is edge. Chris has an edge.
You have an edge too, Danny.
Yeah, I know. I like
that. Yeah, he just
I,
said that.
I like
as we go through, when the good Lord puts us all together and Danny's in line, Chris is in line, and step here for sensitivity, Danny goes, yeah, I'm going to pass. Thanks. Give me a little extra dose of take that.
I like to call it brutal honesty.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to what you just always, laid out there, but
not
okay.
Always brutal honesty. It's brutal, but I not be honesty. You are.
I don't brutally lie. I don't brutally sugarcoat anything. If you came in and if you were, you know, my significant other, and you came in a dress and said, "Do I look fat in this?" and you did, I would say yes. That's just a fact.
That's not how you handle.
And then you'd be sleeping on the couch for the next week,
yes,
right?
Yes, and I would.
That's not how you handle your
comfortable couch.
Then I'd be mad, though, that don't ask me if you look fat if you don't want the answer. Because the second you ask me, you're going to get the answer, whether you like it or not.
No, because there's a way to handle it. If your wife says to you, "Danny, does this dress make me look fat?" You don't go, "No, your face does." And you don't go, "Yeah, you look fat." You go, "Hon, there's just other things that I think look better on you." There's just a way to have some tact and couth.
Now, like if life was Game of Thrones, which I know you don't watch and you don't want to watch, I would not be the king at the end of it because I don't play the Game of Thrones. You, Kaplan, would probably end up being king or killed close to being king.
Yeah, I just... There has to be a way to have a little bit of softness to you, a little bit of... Tact is the wrong word. Just empathy. Danny has no empathy.
I think Danny has empathy.
Very little. His kids. Danny is as locked in on empathy for his kids, but and his wife. but he is not what you would call an empathetic person. Is that the right way to put it? Anyway, 312-332-3776.
You're talking about the Bears, Matt Nagy in the playoffs, right?
Yes. Do you guys think that there's more pressure on him because 14 teams make it, so you better make it, or there's 14 teams, so relax and just do what you do and you'll get there? More, Danny, or less?
Oh, there's got to be more pressure on Matt Nagy. 14 teams make the playoffs. That's almost 44% of the league.
Mm-hmm.
You were coach of the year 2 years removed. You're an offensive guru whose offense can't score points. Absolutely, there's more pressure on you. This defense is all-world elite. They held teams to 18 points a game last year. How can you tell me there's not more pressure on the head coach to make the playoffs this year or find himself in a new position next year with the situation we're in?
Chris?
Well, Cap, what do you think?
I think that there's more pressure simply because there's so much of a level of frustration from last season. I mean, I still remember the day of the Thursday night opener, doing this show, being all excited, then going out to Grant Park, and we did Sports Talk Live, and I'm there with Alex Brown and Olin Krutz, and everyone's excited and jacked up. And then Alex grabs me off air. He goes, dude, dial it down. They're going to lose tonight. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? They're going to lose. They're going to drill this team. He's like, trust me. They're going to lose. Their offense looks terrible. He had been up there. And sure enough, he and Wiederer and all these guys were right. And they looked awful. And just the whole season felt like 4-12. I know it was 8-8. It felt like 4-12. And I think there's more pressure because of the level of expectation that was not met a year ago.
I think it goes back farther than that, Cap. I think, remember to why the Bears are in the situation they're in and why Ryan Pace is here, why Matt Nagy is here, why Phil Emery was here, why Mark Trestman was here. If you go back, Lovie Smith in his last six seasons as mm-hmm. Bears head coach got to the playoffs once.
Right.
And the storyline there was that it was unacceptable as a Bears head coach to miss the playoffs that frequently.
Yep.
So to me,
he was 10-6 his last year.
Exactly. So, you know, he was a pretty good head football coach. Did he quench the thirst of Bears fans in the fact that we think this is a franchise that should be at the top of the table when it comes to NFL football, one of the marquee franchises in the entire league?
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the playoffs once in 6 years, not good enough. You're fired, sir. So then we go down the line and we go into the future. And the reason the Bears are in the spot they're in right now was because they got rid of a good football coach because he wasn't getting it done with 10-6 as the record. Why didn't he get it done? He didn't make the playoffs. Got to make the playoffs. That's the end of the story, is that if you look at Bears history, this is not like they have performed like the Cleveland Browns, but us Bears fans look at the team as if they should be in the conversation with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, San Francisco 49ers. That's where the Bears belong. They have not done that. So, yeah, you got to make the playoffs. Come on, there's pressure there. To say there's no pressure is idiotic because if you look at this franchise in the history.
Is there more pressure?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, more pressure, I would say yes, because you know why? You didn't make the playoffs last year. So if you miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, now you have a trend of a head coach and a GM who are now consistently missing the playoffs. So, yeah, there's more pressure. You got to get back. Come on. What are we waiting around for? Right? Lovie Smith was a good football coach. He had his faults. The team could have been better, but he was pretty good, right? So when you look at all things considering, Matt Nagy needs to make the playoffs. He just does.
Agreed. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Kenny is in Glen Ellen. Kenneth, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, how are you? I want to thank you because today I'm going to use the word onerous in a sentence.
There you go.
Thank you very much for that education.
You got it.
Just real quick, you guys were talking about the pressure for Nagy. I agree with you guys. He's going to be under pressure. But what I'm looking for is he the kind of guy that wants it? I mean, if you're going to grow, you better be uncomfortable. In that setting right there, he's got a lot to prove, and if he wants that, then I'm all for him as a coach. I mean, every book you read about anybody who's been successful, whether it's been a coach, GM, or a player, they've always said, hey, I wanted to be that guy. I want that pressure. And he better have a short memory from last year to go forward with that. So I'm really excited about the way it's set up, too, with Foles. Foles is making his money, so he doesn't have to worry about playing for that money. He can sit back, do what he's been doing all along, and it kind of set up for a win-win. If Trubisky succeeds, they'll be like, hey, I told you so. He was our guy all along.
Right.
And if Foles steps in, it's going to be, well, fans, we did what you guys wanted. We created a quarterback competition, and here we sit. So what else do you want?
And if
And
if none of it works, they're all out of here anyway.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
There's no downside. People will get what they want. There, a lot of people want new coach, new GM. Okay, if these two guys fail, and this team is 6-10 or whatever it is, they're going to get what they want anyway. And if they don't fail, we're all pretty happy because they made a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, spot on. And the other part of it too is this: you're going to walk away with, all right, now we know with certainty who they really are. Like you said, we'll go on from there.
You got it. Kenny, stay safe and healthy, okay, kid?
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. See you. 312-332-3776. Don't we, Danny, do you like the pressure? Like, if Matt Nagy is who we think he is, if Foles or Trubisky or Mack or any of these guys are who we either think or hope that they are, in Mitch's case, it's hope. In Khalil's case, it's think. Because we know what he is. He's a great player. Don't you like the challenge, the pressure of expectation? Or would you like it smooth and easy every day? Like, I'll be honest with you. Showing up here every day, knowing what the reality is out there, knowing we don't have games, we better be damn funny and entertaining and passionate and have a good time. And it's the three of us. And people are looking to us on their smart speaker at home going, I'm going to turn those guys on. I just got to get my mind off news conferences and corona and stay-at-home warnings and all of this. Like, I'm relishing this challenge to be there for other people. And I think you guys are, too. I can tell.
Yeah, I think that's the way we're all wired. I think we're wired to rise to the challenge. I think most people are. Every once in a while, you come across a person who's interested in the path of least resistance. And that's fine. That works for them. That's the way they were either brought up or the way they were raised, or that's just their personality trait. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, expectation brings out the best in you.
Right.
You know, a challenge brings out the best in you. We're all into that. That's the way that we're motivated. And I would hope and assume you don't get to a professional sports franchise being a starter or a role player or just on a team, an elite athlete in the world, just based on God's gifts athletically. You have to have that drive as well.
Look, everyone wants to poke fun at whoever, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Mitchell Trubisky, whoever it is, Charles Leno, pick anyone that underachieved. You don't get to that level without being incredibly good at what you do. You may fail there, and then it's someone else's turn. But to get the opportunity, you had to work incredibly hard to get
there. See, this is where I'm going to disagree with you on that one. Take, for instance, Eddie Curry.
Mm-hmm.
God gave him every gift possible. I mean, Eddie Curry was a beast physically. Eddie Curry, you know, he was built like baby Shaq. Eddie Curry didn't have a work ethic. Eddie Curry didn't want to be the best player on the court. Carmen will tell you stories of covering those teams and Eddie Curry's work ethic in practice. He did not have that. He got to the NBA based on God's gift, based on the fact that when he stood on the court, he was the biggest, strongest, best, and it just came easy for him. And I think you can get to a certain point in life where that's where it takes you, but then to be the best, to be the guy that pushes beyond that, you have to have the work ethic and the desire. And I think, to bring this back to the Bears, we're wondering that about Mitch. Mitch had all the athletic gifts growing up. Mitch is athletically, nobody doubts it, a very, very talented guy.
But he also has a great work ethic.
But he doesn't know the playbook the way Nagy wants him to. Who's that on? Is it between the years he just can't get it, or is he not putting in the work to get it? And that's the question. We heard, you can't argue it, we heard Matt Nagy say that he needs Mitch to know the playbook as well as he does.
Yeah, like his work ethic's never been questioned.
then
it
why
might be up here.
Then maybe it's up there. But that's a different situation. But I think, you know, these, just to say you don't make it to the pros if you don't have that in you to be the best, I disagree with. Athletically, you could just be more gifted than everyone else, and then you get to a certain point where it comes down, how bad do you want it?
Right, but my point is Ryan Pace doesn't get this opportunity without a great work ethic and showing something in New Orleans to last as many years as he did there. To get that opportunity. Now, he may fail.
Yeah, but you know the glass ceiling. You've heard of the glass ceiling. Maybe, you know, not to say that this applies to Ryan Pace, because I want to hope he still can correct this and make it right, but maybe it's just a little bit above him to be the general manager of a team. Maybe he was best being the assistant general manager or a head scout.
I'm not disagreeing. That's what I'm saying to you. We may find out it was too much and he didn't get it done and he's out. What I'm saying is he earned his way to get a chance. Mitchell Trubisky's, Kyle Long said his work ethic's off the charts. Maybe he doesn't understand the playbook, and maybe that's between the ears. Got it. He earned his way to get to where he is.
But did Mitch earn his way to get to where he is? He was drafted extremely high. The Bears traded up for him. Fine. Many people during that draft had him high on their draft boards. That's from his athletic ability. But did he earn the right to be the Bears starter, or was it just because they traded up to draft him second?
Well, he earned his way into the top 10 of the draft.
Okay. But then Mike Glennon just sucked. Did he earn his right, or was, hey, we drafted you high, we traded away a lot of assets for you, and Mike Glennon's horrible, we got no choice, kid.
What soda pop are you drinking there? We all heard
I don't
you,
drink soda pop.
We all heard you crack open something. What do you got over there?
LaCroix.
Oh, okay. All right. It sounded like a soda pop.
I drink so much.
Do you say soda pop or soda pop? What do you go with?
I just say pop.
Pop. We're in Chicago. Pop. It's okay. Just pop.
All right. My mom from Brooklyn would always call it soda. Do you want a soda? I have not had any kind of soda in over 6 years. Thank you, Eddie Olchek, for getting me to do that. 312-332-3776. We also have some baseball to discuss, because baseball got it wrong again. We'll get to your calls. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. Here for you every morning, 9 a.m. with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan. Just trying to entertain you, let you have some fun as you go about your new normal. And hopefully this all passes and we get sports back and we get our lives back. And I don't think I'll ever shake anyone's hand again. Danny and I and Chris were talking about that in our meeting this morning. It's like, would you feel comfortable shaking hands again? I won't. Like, I'll be as courteous and as nice and chat you up and bump elbows. But, boy, I think that whole shaking hands thing may be going by the wayside. I do. Joey is in Schaumburg, 312-332-3776. You want to jump in? You want to get on the radio? Light them up. Joey, welcome, kid.
Hey, Camp Exotic. How's it going?
It's good, Sparky. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just out here serving the people. Delivery driver, so run around all day.
God bless you. Stay safe.
Yeah. Real quick, I was talking to Danny. Being a Bears fan, you know, as Nick Foles comes in with this new contract, everybody's upset about it. He obviously has shown to be better as, like, a bench guy coming off the bench in certain situations. And when he is the guy, he's not good. As a Bears fan, I'm kind of like, I kind of want Mitch just to have the starting job for the first four or so games with the defense, hopefully. Win us one or two of those games. Mitch do mediocre, just enough to get by. And then Nagy finally see, like, hey, we got to put Foles in. Then I think Foles will be better off doing that than coming in as being the guy right away. I just wanted to see your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I want Mitch to win the starting job because I think Nick's better riding in. If Mitch is awful like he was last training camp when we were all, not we all, I, let me put it, be clear here, Danny. When I was denigrating my friend Dan Wiederer, who was saying to me, or Jeff Dickerson, yeah, your guy looks terrible. That's training camp. What does that mean? And thanks for the call, Joey. Stay safe and healthy out there in Schaumburg. They were right. I was wrong. Okay, are we clear? They were right. I was wrong.
Can you wait? 3, 2, 1, say that.
They were right. I was wrong.
Got it.
Okay. So if Mitch goes into training camp, whenever it is, and whizzes down his leg, okay, then he's not the guy, and we move on and we go, all right, we tried. We gave you every chance. It didn't work. And play Nick Foles, who was the only option. And I think Bill Barnwell's a really good writer, but Bill Barnwell is so wrong on his article today where he writes, the Bears proceeded to blow away non-existent markets to get the guys they wanted. And he goes into the Jimmy Graham thing, which we all agree we didn't like the deal, but we'll see where it goes. Chicago also chose to send a fourth-round pick to acquire Nick Foles from the Jaguars, eating some portion of what was an underwater contract in the process when the likes of Cam Newton and Andy Dalton are either available for free or will be available for much cheaper. What Bill fails to understand there is, and go read Mike Sando's article from The Athletic where he talked to executives in the league about Nick Foles and how this is the only move the Bears could have made. With no training camp, possibly, with no OTAs for sure, with no minicamp, probably, you cannot get to know your teammates just digitally on Zoom. You just can't. You got to interact with them, and the same thing with the system. Nick Foles has a relationship, at least, with members of the coaching staff. There are players on that team, not a ton, that know him, and he is the best option at being able to assimilate himself into the culture in the locker room better than someone who has no experience with any of the coaches and has never run your system. It's not an ideal situation for anybody, but it is possible with Nick Foles better than any other option. So I thought Bill Barnwell missed the boat 100%. Joe in Chicago Heights. Let's go to Joe. Hey, Sparkles, what's up, man?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Hey, Kappas, I met you a couple years ago down in Illinois Westland and tailgating, and if you ever get a chance to meet this guy is a great guy. I knew he was a great guy, but meeting him, he's even better.
Joe, you're the man. I remember going down there because my son played there, and it's a lot of fun, man. People have no idea how good Division III football is.
It really is. It's a blast. My son's currently playing it now, and it really is a great time.
God bless you.
Thank you, brother. I just wanted to talk to you about Trubisky. You guys were talking about making the comment about him not getting it or with the playbook. I mean, you can give him 10 plays in the playbook. Okay, the whole thing is you be a great quarterback, you have to be able to pass in the pocket, and you have to be accurate. So if you give him 10 plays, he can't do those things, he's never going to be a great quarterback. And those two things he can't do. Now, you can make it easier for him, let him roll out, whatever, and extend plays. But to extend plays, eventually you're going to have to pass in the pocket. And he has not shown the ability to do that. But I also disagree with this whole thing about, the high school approach of, okay, we're going to bring somebody in and light the fire under him. Okay, well, light the fire, either he's your guy or he's not. Pick a lane. He's either your guy or he's not. Now the guy to do that was Jay Cutler. The problem was that when you had Jay Cutler, you had nobody better to put in front of him, and he knew that. So there was really nobody to light a fire under him. That was the guy to light the fire under. But if this is your guy, you let him go. And saying you get to a point where you say you're not my guy anymore, then you go to the next guy. But I think you haven't done anything to really help him. The offensive line stinks. You haven't given him any big play guys, especially a tight end to extend plays for him. You took away his running game. I mean, that was pretty non-existent. So you really haven't helped him. So it's just twofold. I just think you got to give him more of a shot. I'm not a Trubisky fan, but to be fair to him, I think you need to give him a good shot and say, hey, you're my guy until you're not.
Yeah, for me, once they make the decision, whether it's in training camp, whether it is week two, week six, week eight, whatever it is, if they pull him and they go to Nick Foles, then, like Chris Black has been saying, go find your next young quarterback who's the future of your team.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
Then it's over. Then it's over. And if Mitch becomes really good somewhere else, like Alex Smith did, God bless him.
There you go.
That's it. Hey, man, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. You too, man. Thank you.
See ya. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We've got the draft coming up on April 23. We got 3 weeks to go. Chris, do you think there's any chance at the 11th hour this week, next week, that the league goes, yeah, we're going to pull the plug and we're going to wait? Or do you think it's 100% we're having that draft?
I mean, anything's likely in this day and age, but it sounds like they have prepped teams to prepare for this to take place.
I wonder where the Bears are going to do their draft from, because their headquarters is closed. I saw this morning the Saints are working out of a brewery. It's owned by the Benson family, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? Like, I get being closed for players to come in and get treatment, but if you're just using a conference room and the same amount of people that will be in the facility that would be in the brewery, what's the point? Just reopen the facility for a day. I don't understand.
Like, hire one of those companies to come in.
I don't even understand why it's a concern. I'm sure they'll find a spot to do it, right?
Yeah, I don't get it, but...
I mean, if worst case scenario, go sit outside.
Yeah, socially distance.
All right, Ryan Pace, go sit outside.
Socially distance. Have a guy on Messenger. What do you think?
We know you have a track record, sir, of sitting in disguise at the Sun Bowl, scouting Mitch Trubisky. So throw on a disguise, go sit out in a park, and draft your draft picks.
I still love the story about Pace and the guy recognizing him at the Sun Bowl. I love that story.
Isn't it?
It's amazing.
If only that guy, the guy who recognized him, could have done something to turn back the wheels of time. If only that individual, who recognized Ryan Pace, would have said, hey, yeah.
Wrong guy.
Yeah, you're here to see Solomon Thomas, right, for Stanford? Oh, no, you're here to see, that quarterback?
Pass. Hard pass.
That's who you're, oh, ugh.
I can see the future. Don't do it.
Terrible.
By the way, did you see, Chris, and I got to ask you, did you follow college recruiting, right? Football recruiting? You follow it some. I know Abdallah does. Did you see where one of the top passing quarterbacks in next year's class just committed?
Where?
He's from Lubbock, Texas. You would think he'd go to Texas Tech right there. They run a big-time offense passing-wise. He just committed to play for Mike Leach at, where's he at, Ole Miss now or Mississippi State? Yeah. How about that? He's going from Lubbock to Mississippi to play for Mike Leach because he said he'll get me ready to play in the pros, like he did with Gardner Minshew. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, and we'll come back. Baseball got it wrong. We've got to tell you about that story. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. By the way, it's Jay Cutler Day. This is the same date that Jay was acquired here. Such a disappointing trade, but I didn't like it the day they made it. Disappointing day. Some people thought it was the greatest. Yeah, there's a reason they give away 25-year-old Pro Bowl quarterbacks, even if they are my cousin. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Hey, Danny, I got a text from a good friend who is currently in the NBA. Currently in the league. I will not out him because he asked me not to, but he said, I'm listening to you guys on the app. You guys are absolutely right. Pros are the best athletes in the world, and you cannot get there without putting in a lot of work in the gym. But when everyone is that talented athletically, then the depth of knowledge of the game is what makes a player great. No one obviously taught Eddie Curry how to practice and then understand his strengths and overcome his weaknesses. Got to run. I'm in Home Depot. See ya. Stay healthy. So, interesting.
What team's that guy on?
I can't say that.
Come on now.
He said, do not out me. I am not going to say that. No chance.
Currently.
Do we get 20 guesses?
Nope. You don't get one. Let's go to the phones.
All right, Dan, what do you want to guess between the two of us?
Player or coach?
Again, no comment. 312-332-3, and it's not Bulls. 312-332-3776. Paul is in Lakeview. Hey, Paul, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap, what's happening? I'm a recovering Bears fan, true fan of the NFL, though, where I follow 8 to 12 teams. Other teams, I should say. That gentleman who ran into Ryan Pace at the Sun Bowl, he should have adjusted Ryan Pace's tinfoil hat. I don't know what Pace saw in Trubisky. The guy he couldn't even beat out for the position in college ended up making it to the XFL. You know, the Bears last in every category in the Super Bowl era at the quarterback position.
Uh-huh.
When is this going to end? That's all I have. Thanks,
man. Stay healthy and safe. Okay, kid?
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. 312-332-3776. Here's a couple of other nuggets from the Bill Barnwell column. He said teams are still desperate for offensive linemen. Cardinals gave DJ Humphreys 3 years, $44 million before free agency began, and that seemed to set the tone. While the top of the market wasn't record-setting, we saw Anthony Costanzo get 2 years and $33 million from the Colts. Jack Conklin, local kid, 3 years, $42 million from the Browns. Nobody bought, or needy teams bought in bulk, sorry. The Jets signed four, including the widely panned decision to give Noah Fant 3 years, $27.3 million. Seahawks added B.J. Finney, Brandon Shell, Cedric Ogbuchi, and Chance Warmack, who missed all the 2019 season. And then he gave his commentary on the Chicago Bears. So they've got to address the offensive line in this draft. They have to. So anyway, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Eric on Twitter says, if Jay Cutler was the Bears quarterback last year, and if he was this year, the Bears would have made the playoffs, and I repeat, would have won a Super Bowl. Quit drinking this early, Eric. Yes, a Super Bowl. No doubt in my mind. Big Cutler guy here at the Catman, at Chris Black, at Danny Zetterman.
Today is Jay Cutler Day. On this day was the day that the Chicago Bears traded.
Yeah, I just said
for
that.
I know that. And I would like to point out to you that you and I have a friend who knows way more about football than you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us very similar that this Bears team would have probably made the playoffs had Jay Cutler been under center last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Chris Hold is a witness. A
Hold on a second.
Yeah, and I agree with the assessment. Yeah.
Chris is a witness.
It's a bad assessment. It's a dumb assessment.
So, That's just because you don't like him.
Hold on a second. Don't insult my cousin. Number one, he had arguably a better defense when he was here with Urlacher and all of those guys, and had far more offensive weaponry from Brandon Marshall, everyone tells me was so great, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte. He had an excellent offensive line. Guess what? What did he win? One playoff game in his freaking career here?
He had a different offensive coordinator every single year, and he didn't have the Matt Nagy offensive guru running the show, right?
And factually speaking, based on defensive DVOA, last year's defense, not the year the 8-8 season, but the 12-4 season, was the best Bears defense since 85. So
they still had an amazing defense with Hall of Famers on it. Or a Hall of Famer, at least.
Okay, so did Mitch.
And he had far better offensive weapons than Mitch ever had. Far better.
Okay.
And won one playoff game and barely got to the playoffs. Please.
Okay.
Most overrated athlete to come through this town. Most overrated athlete to come through this town. 312-332-3776. Real quick, Ryan is in Wheeling. Hey, Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not much.
So
we're...
Tell me, you own a company called Champro?
Yeah, I'm president of a company called Champro. We're a team sports equipment and uniform manufacturer.
And what are you guys doing? Because you need our listeners' help.
Well, typically this time of year, we'd be selling a lot of baseball and softball equipment to kids playing baseball and softball. But since kids aren't out on the fields, our manufacturing doesn't have anything to do right now. So we've repurposed our manufacturing, or at least a portion of it, into making face masks. And there's been a lot of conversation about face masks, especially the last 2 days, about the importance of wearing them and the lack of availability of face masks. So we are currently manufacturing face masks that are being donated to senior living facilities. We're also working on a prototype face mask for a hospital using raw materials they supplied. And we are... Just want to put the word out there that, if anyone listening, has, particularly any woven cotton fabric they'd like to donate for face mask manufacturing or needs face masks manufactured or is in need of masks for a senior living facility, that, please reach out to Champro Sports on social media.
Okay, how do they find you? C-H-A-M-P-R-O?
Correct.
Okay, C-H-A-M-P-R-O. You're looking for people who have extra fabric they can donate or have a need to get masks from you, and we've got a large listening audience. So again, Champro, C-H-A-M-P-R-O. If you can help them, they can help you. Best of luck, man. Okay,
thanks. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. There you go. So Ryan was calling in from Wheeling. If you can help, we would love for you to get involved. Champro, there you go. We will be back. Mike Tannenbaum, former GM of two teams in the NFL, ESPN analyst, former agent. He joins us in exactly 2 minutes.